What is up, my beautiful entrepreneurs? Happy Monday. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. How are you? I hope you had a lovely weekend. For me, it was a very intense one because it was elections here in Portugal. Yeah, in these weird times that we are now facing in Europe and all around the world, elections are really, really important. And as well, it marks 50 years since Portugal entered in a democracy and was able to kicked out the dictatorship we had. So I was already born with full democracy, but my parents weren't. And it's important. It's important for us to feel how privileged we are that we can actually have a say in the future of our country. Now, these elections were very special. Were very special for multiple reasons. First of all, I returned from Germany, right? If you're a follower of this podcast, you know that I lived in Germany. And about 2 years ago, roughly when I started indie hacking, I returned to Portugal. And things here are not fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not that everything is wrong. There's a lot of things that I'm really happy about. When I left Portugal around 7 years ago, Portugal was much more traditional. We're still very far away from Central Europe. Once I arrived to Europe, I realized that we were actually missing out on a lot of things. So when I returned, I was a bit cautious. I was a bit afraid that I would miss out that expat life and that vibe and that mixed spot of cultures. But I was pleasantly surprised. Portugal had turned out to be a country where people were actually considering to live in full time. Not only people from, you know, other maybe developing countries that would come here for a better life, as well people from European countries, people with money, people with normally, you know, university degrees. They were actually thinking, no, Portugal is a great place to live. So there was a huge change, a huge boom of immigration here in Portugal. And this is really cool. It's really cool because we get to meet other cultures and have this kind of feeling of mixed pot and learn and kind of extract all the good things from other cultures. And as well, I think it was great because we started to import the mindset, the work mindset of Central Europe, of the US, and it's something that we really need here in Portugal because, let's face it, our work-life balance is terrible and the culture in most companies is terrible. People tend to work really hard and get paid really low paychecks. But with that also came a lot of not-so-good sides. I'm not saying, I don't even know if it's only because of the immigration, but in general, I think the whole Europe is facing a huge housing crisis. It's very expensive to rent a place, to buy a place, and the cost of living in Europe, especially with the wars and everything that was going on, started to grow with inflation and so on. So obviously, it's not because of the immigration. I really love the immigration. I think this is really bringing a lot of value to our country. But yeah, housing is getting more expensive. And this is happening all around Europe. But here in Portugal, the paycheck is really low. So there's a huge gap. There's a huge gap between the money that people are able to get and then the cost of living. So in the end, it's normal. It's quite normal for people not to be able to save any money, or a lot of people don't even have enough money to rent a place, to have a roof above their heads. And that's crucial. That's causing tons of people to leave the country. A lot of young people are leaving the country, and this is keeping the old people that are not working, and eventually there will be no one to pay their pension. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into detail about the politics, but yeah, I felt personally that it was crucial for me to pay extra attention to these elections. So I've been following each debate, each different party, and I think I've made the most informed decision that I've made in any elections in the past. So yeah, I was following that, And in the end, the party I was looking or that I voted won, which is great, but there's something that is not so positive. Unfortunately, there is also a huge trend here in Europe around far right. So far right parties are growing. I don't really understand why, but it's happening. It's happening in France, it's happening in Germany, in Netherlands, everywhere really. And it's also unfortunately happening in Portugal. For the first time, a far-right party had 20% votes. It's huge. It's the third most voted party, and it's very scary. It's very scary. I don't really know how this will affect the country. So it was kind of a bittersweet victory because, yeah, in one hand, the party I voted for won, but it won without majority. So, yeah. A bit weird. Let's see what this brings. But one thing that I've noticed that now that I have my own company, that I understand the taxes and everything, my political views changed. Yeah, I don't know if that happened to you. It's funny. I was talking with Luca, also indie hacker, and he's from Italy, and he's saying the same. Once you realize how much you actually have to pay, for taxes, you start realizing that maybe you're not getting your money back. Maybe it feels that the effort you're putting to pay your taxes is a bit higher than what your country is giving you. So for me, it was kind of crucial that there was like a reduce in taxes, especially also because Portugal has one of the highest tax rates in all Europe. And It's interesting to see how things change and how your political views change as well when you start your own company. Because when you work for others, you don't even really notice the taxes you're paying. You kind of already convert your salary into net salary, so salary after taxes, and you don't even have to pay the taxes, right? So you get your salary already net, and the company, your employer, pays the taxes for you. When you have your own company, it's a bit different because you get all the money from your customers, obviously, and then eventually you or your accountant will have to pay these taxes. So it's super. It feels worse because you have all this money in your bank account, and you'd be like, okay, now 50% goes to the taxes. Yeah, it's really a lot. So I don't want to get too much into detail, but I just felt a little bit on sharing this part of my life because it's also important. It's also part of indie hacking life, how your political views might change a little bit and how you might be more interested on the path of your country. In the plus side, in these elections, we had a very low... What is it called? I don't know. You know when people, they don't show up to vote? Absence of voting? Yeah. So it was very low compared to the previous year. So that's really cool. Everyone went out and practiced their right of voting. And it feels great, man. I love democracy. I love to be able to have the freedom to vote. And I know there are some people that think that there are some drawbacks in this method, but I love it. Yeah, anyways, another thing that I want to talk with you in this episode is about productivity. You know, one thing that I've been really struggling, and I've told you countless times about it, is how to stop working. How not to feel bad when I'm doing other things, either being with my friends, with my partner, with, I don't know, just chilling, watching Netflix. I always feel that I need to be working instead of resting, instead of doing anything else. And it's been really hard. It was actually one of the goals of this year for me to be able to relax more. But I always feel that if I'm not working, I don't know, others, especially because we have so many competitors, others are just, you know, taking our place. And especially when you're losing, quote unquote losing, with this I mean if you're not growing as much as you want, if your churn is high, whatever, you always feel that you need to do more. But I feel that I'm getting better. I'm getting better because now I am listening to a book called The 4 Hours Work Week from Tim Ferriss. And before I get into the book, audiobooks are the best. I love audiobooks. I didn't have the time or the will to actually read And because I didn't want to just stop and read, maybe again due to the productivity thing. But now that I can just like listen, and I listen when I'm commuting, when I'm doing the dishes, whatever, it feels really great. So I've listened to the SaaS playbook, the book I think I recommended last episode or so. It's really good. I recommend everyone to listen. I will also have Rob Walling, the author of that book, in the podcast. So I will ask him all the questions. But yeah, you should definitely listen to that one. But yes, I listened to the 4 hours book, the 4 hours work week. And it feels a bit odd, right? 4 hours. How is it possible for someone just to work 4 hours and actually get anything done? So I have mixed feelings about this book, but in general, I think they are quite positive. It's in opposite to the book I mentioned before, the SaaS playbook. This one has some concepts that are a little bit repetitive. And I feel that this happens a lot. I don't know if you feel the same, but I feel this happens a lot with this kind of more technical books. Sometimes they just repeat themselves. They just give tons of examples about the same concepts. And I think this is happening a little bit here. And I also feel that this is a bit clickbaity, right? 4 hours work week, I think it's unreal. You cannot just work 4 hours for it's just too little. Obviously, maybe if you get to a point where you can fully automate your business, maybe you can do that. But to get to that point, you need to work, right? So it's hard to do it only 4 hours. But it does give you some nice techniques and ways to think on how to kind of be more efficient. And starting with the Pareto rule. The Pareto rule, or the 20-80 rule, is a very interesting rule because it says that 20% of the efforts actually deliver 80% of the benefits. And the opposite is also true. Then the other 80% of the efforts will only deliver 20% of the benefits. And apparently this rule was kind of experienced in multiple things. Not only with work, but as well with learning, like the time you spent making learning an instrument, and many, many things. And what this book kind of says that you need to exploit this 20%. You need to be ruthless and really try to decide what is the most productive way for you to conduct your time. And it's true. When you have 8 hours to do something, you tend to kind of elongate more and relax more, whereas sometimes you can do the same thing in 4 hours. It happens. I mean, it happened to you, it happened to me. Sometimes when you have a deadline, you get things done. But if you don't have a deadline, you might take months to get your project or presentation, whatever, done. So I think what I like about this book is, first of all, this concept. The concept that when you are under pressure, you are able to figure out more productive ways to get things done. And even makes a bunch of exercise like, okay, imagine that you have a heart attack or heart disease, and or your doctor comes to you and says, Tiago, you can only work 2 hours per day. You can only work 2 hours per day, otherwise you get too stressed. And try to come up with a way. Like, try to come up with this crazy scenario, and how would you do it? Gun to your head, you can only work 2 hours per day, how would you do it? And it's funny, because when you start doing these exercises, you start really realizing what things are crucial and what things are not crucial. That's what I'm trying to do now. Fortunately, PodSqueeze is making money, so I'm also able to delegate tasks. And I started to notice there are a bunch of tasks that I would spend a lot of time doing that I don't really need to do. I can just delegate it. And even if my developer takes a little bit more time, what is the problem? Is that really a problem? What if this feature, instead of being released today, is released tomorrow? Is that really a problem? Probably not, right? So now I feel that I'm training this more. I'm training to be more efficient. And I kind of came up with a plan of the priority of my tasks, the priority of my day. So when I start my day, the first thing I need to do is to solve any team blockers. I need to make sure that the team is still going, is still developing, is still making whatever they need to do. So I solve any team blockers. And that, I mean, if there's any messages, urgent messages that they are sending me, if I need to review some code, if I need to answer some important email, I just do it. That's the first thing I want to do. I don't want to be a blocker. I just need to unblock anything that is going on so that the team is just going forward. That's crucial. That's the first thing. And one thing that also he says, Tim Ferriss says in the book, is when you send messages, you need to already come up with the whatever they might answer to you. So let's say you want to ask for, let's say to set up a meeting. Well, a meeting is not a great idea, but okay, let's take the meeting as an example. You want to set up a meeting and a lot of people, they would say, hey, can you meet next week? And they'll be like, next week, what day? And then you answer, maybe Monday. Monday I can, but I can't, but maybe I can Tuesday. And you go back and forth trying to come up with a day. So how can you make this more efficient? Use Calendly, for instance. Calendly already saves you a lot of time. You just send a link, they book the time, perfect. But let's say that you are planning an event, okay? And you are talking with a member of your team and they are responsible for planning this event. So what you want to do is kind of think about what question they might have to your email. So let's say you send an email saying, hey, the event will be on Tuesday and we'll need balloons. And you send this email. Now imagine there's no balloons. They can ask, oh, there's no balloons, or what colors are the balloons? So try to be really specific and say, hey, where the event is on Tuesday, we'll need balloons, blue balloons. If you don't have blue balloons, please pick any other color that is whatever, happy color. And if there are no balloons, use confettis. And one thing they also say is that it's to give responsibility to their team. The team is not there to be micromanaged. The team is there to solve these challenges. So you can even say, if you have no balloons, use confettis, or you have a budget of 100 euros, decide whatever fits best. If there's no balloons, you can make a decision up to 100 euros. If not, you know, get back to me. So this is already maybe solving a lot of back and forth, because you're already giving kind of responsibility to your team. You are giving them a budget and you just need to trust them. So that's the first thing, solve any team blockers, and that, you know, entails writing good messages and so on. The second thing that I prioritize is to answer any crucial blocking emails. So if there's any blocking email, anything that is preventing some project to go forward, some partnership to go forward, some important bug that I need to fix, whatever, send that. And then third is strategic thinking and come up with tasks or automation. So before, I used to look at a bug in a website or something that was not right, and I would immediately fix it. And granted, I mean, everyone has their way of working. I could immediately jump in and fix it, but I am doing things that I don't need to do. It's not crucial that it's me doing it, right? Others can do it. So the first thing I do is I create a task for it. Even if in the future then I pick up that task, I just create the task because it's much faster. I can just, I use Loom, I record a quick video about what the task entails, and I put it on Trello. And now if I have to do something, if I have to run, if someone calls me and I forget about the task, it's already there and someone from my team will pick it up, right? So I just try to automate everything and to create tasks. So I come up with strategical ideas. So I see whatever is the goal of the pod squeeze, whatever you want to achieve and how I want to achieve it, do some research and then create tasks for that. And one other thing that I really try to do is think to myself, is there any better way to do this? Is there any way to make it faster? So a great example is that I created a task to my VA to send emails to 50 companies in the world of podcasting. And of course, this will take a lot of time. Maybe not from me, but from the VA, it will take a lot of time to like pick up the tasks and find the right people to send the emails and send each email. So before that, try to think, okay, you only have 2 hours a day. Your VA only has 1 hour per day. How can you optimize this? So I was doing this exercise and I remember there was this tool called Apollo that allows you to quickly find these emails and send them. And I was like, let me try it out. Let me spend some time testing this tool because it might save a lot of time in the future. And it did. It's an amazing tool. I have to say, you should try it out. It's expensive, it's not cheap, but it's really good. It's really good because you get to find a bunch of companies. I just searched podcasting. It finds a bunch of companies in the world of podcasting. It finds the emails of their founders, and you can automate the emails. And now I'm just sending whatever, 50, 100 emails per day without actually having to pay a VA, without actually having to manage that part. So automation is key. And last but not least, that's the fourth priority, is to work on any tasks or less prior emails. So now, if there's a task to pick up, I'll pick it up. If there's any known prior emails, I'll answer it. But so if I have a day that I can only work 1 hour, I will start with solve any team blockers, and then I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. If there's a day that I don't want to work, then I start only with one. If there's a day that I have a lot of time or I have already done all the first steps, then I pick up a task and I start working on that. So I feel that by doing this, I feel more stress. I feel less stress, actually. And I feel that now it's fine for me to go and do whatever errands I need to take over, or whatever, chill or holiday, because I know how to set up better priorities and how to automate and delegate my tasks. So the work is still being done. Things are still moving. The podcast is still growing, but it's okay for me to sometimes take a bit of time off because I know things are still going and I have my tasks really well prioritized. And with this, I also mean back to the giving responsibility to your team. Sometimes you need to train them. Sometimes you just need to train them, not micromanaging them, right? If someone is writing a content for you and you see that the content is not great, or if the task is not well done, a lot of us will just, okay, fuck it, I will just do it. It's much faster. No, it's much better for you to take a little bit extra time to actually teach your team member how to do it, because next time then they will be able to do it and you're saving time and you're being more productive and you can focus on the things that really matter. So yeah, that's basically what I wanted to talk with you today, how to become more productive. That's still something that I'm figuring out. I'll keep you up to date. But yeah, thank you, Tim Ferriss, for writing this book. It's really helping me out. And thank you for listening to this podcast. If you like it, please make sure to share it with your indie maker friends. Every Monday, I'm here with another fresh episode. I have interviews with other makers and I have this solo episode. So I wish you a lovely week with your indie projects. This was another Wannabe Entrepreneur. See you next time.